From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, March 5th. I'm Abby Larico. St. Louis County Prosecutor Melissa Price Smith is working with Missouri Attorney General Catherine Hanaway to go after businesses that house the gaming devices resembling slot machines known as video lottery terminals, giving them till June to disable the machines or face criminal charges. This comes as Missouri's elected officials remain deeply divided over whether to legalize what's now a relatively common type of gaming machine.
Casinos see video lottery terminals as a way to get around all this taxation and regulation.
I chat with STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum to break down why some lawmakers want to ban the machines and others want to legalize and tax them, and how it could wind up being the court's decision anyway. It's coming up after this news on The Gateway. A Webster University student who was serving overseas in Kuwait is among the six soldiers who have died in the war with Iran. The university shared a statement Wednesday evening stating that 35-year-old Cody Cork was killed after the United States and Israel launched their military campaign against Iran last weekend. Cork was a captain in the Army Reserves. He was pursuing an online master's degree with Webster. In a statement released to the public, Cork's family said he was, quote, a man whose life was defined by devotion, character, and service. He's survived by his parents. Scott Air Force Base in the Metro East is playing a quiet but critical role in the ongoing war in Iran. Scott is the headquarters of U.S. Transportation Command, which coordinates much of the military's movement of equipment, weapons, fuel, and troops around the world. The stealth bombers used to strike Iran are flown from another Air Force base in Missouri. Former Transcom Commander General Jacqueline Van Ovost says those B-2 bombers will fly up to 37 hours on a single mission.
They cannot do that without air refueling. So we work together with planners to map out their route and provide fuel along the way, both there and back, multiple times.
Van Ovost made her comments on St. Louis on the Air. She says Transcom has also been moving thousands of troops and dozens of tankers to the Middle East over the last 2 months. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has told St. Louis it will not pay for most of the building demolitions needed in North City following the May 16th tornado. STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri has more.
Letters sent between FEMA and the city in early February reveal the federal government will not reimburse the city for demolitions of several kinds of buildings that are common in the tornado's path. Those include vacant properties that were condemned before the tornado and properties owned by individuals who own other properties. Chief Recovery Officer Julian Nix said the city may have to turn to its own funding or funds received by the state for demolitions not covered by FEMA.
If we look at the total amount of damaged properties that are likely needed demolition, we estimate that maybe 20% of it will be eligible under the interpretations of this letter.
The city hopes to ramp up demolitions of the roughly 1,000 buildings this month. Nix says FEMA's letter doesn't change that plan. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Development Corporation has named a new leader after a nearly year-long search. Starting in late March, Stephen Westbrooks will lead the city's development arm as it seeks to bring more development into the city. In a statement, SLDC pointed to his experience in development finance, real estate, and economic development. The St. Louis native most recently served as executive director of Illinois Facility Fund's Southern Region. He worked there for 10 years. Westbrooks will replace interim SLDC head Otis Williams, who served in the role since May. Westbrooks will start work March 30th. Missouri legislators are concerned about the impacts of artificial intelligence on their constituents. St. Louis Public Radio's Lily Halloran reports a Senate committee heard testimony this week on three different bills that would regulate AI.
One piece of legislation would prevent developers from advertising that AI can provide therapy. Nearly 15 people testified in favor Wednesday, including psychologists and parents concerned about the impact of AI on mental health. Brittany Pratt is a clinical psychologist who says her daughter began to secretly use a home smart assistant for bullying advice.
2 days is how long it took an 8-year-old to trust one of these AI chatbots over a human that they had a long-standing relationship with.
Another bill would declare that AI cannot be recognized as a person, spouse, or manager, and the third would require all AI-generated content to include a watermark. In Jefferson City, I'm Lily Halloran, St. Louis Public Radio.
A leader who helped build up St. Louis's arts and civic life has died. The St. Louis American reports that John H. Faring IV passed on Monday at the age of 73. He's remembered for his humble attitude and devotion to St. Louis. Faring had a major influence over many of the region's arts and culture institutions. He served on the boards of the Contemporary Art Museum, Gateway Arch Park Foundation, Forest Park, Opera Theater, and many more. Faring is survived by his wife Allison and their three sons. Microplastics have been found all over the world, even in human bodies. Now, St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports scientists are working on an innovative way to use algae to clean up the tiny plastic shards.
University of Missouri chemistry professor Susie Day was trying to engineer algae to produce aviation fuel. But instead, she found that the clumps of algae were great at grabbing onto microplastics in water. She's working on a process to add algae tanks to wastewater treatment plants, which could use some help picking up the smallest microplastics.
It's wonderful to remove and retain the big ones, but eventually the smaller ones will be the one really getting to the ecosystem and then getting to human exposure route.
Day and her co-authors lay out their process for using the algae to pick up microplastics in a new paper in Nature Communications. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Maryville University is upgrading its athletics department. The private university in Town and Country announced that it's adding a Division I men's ice hockey program. The school raised more than $5 million to enhance its facilities as part of the move to the sport's highest division. Maryville joins Lindenwood University in St. Charles as the only D1 hockey programs in the St. Louis area. Maryville has several club hockey teams that will continue to compete in the American Collegiate Hockey Association. Go Saints! Gaming machines that are often seen in gas stations and convenience stores have been getting a lot of attention in the past few weeks from state lawmakers, federal judges, and local officials. What are the odds they can all come to an agreement on how to handle these machines? I'm here with STLPR's political correspondent Jason Rosenbaum to break it down. We're talking about VLTs, or video lottery terminals. Can you briefly describe what exactly these machines do?
They're basically slot machines, and they're typically situated in gas stations, convenience stores, or fraternal organizations. And they've become pretty popular because they're ways that people can essentially get their gambling fix outside of a casino. In Missouri, there's a cap on the amount of casinos that are allowed to exist. I think it's about 12 or 13, whereas these VLTs are everywhere. Mm-hmm. They're as ubiquitous as Funyuns at convenience stores, which I think is part of the appeal.
Mm. They have, though, been a pretty divisive topic in state politics here in Missouri for some time. State lawmakers have been considering legislation this year that would legalize the machines and tax and regulate them, kind of like what you're talking about there with the casinos, apply some more rules there. But it does sound like the two sides on this topic still remain pretty divided.
Oh, very much so. One of the unsaid things about this controversy is that casinos absolutely despise video lottery terminals because they see them as competition, and they are.
Mm-hmm.
Casinos are very tightly regulated. They're taxed very specifically. And casinos see video lottery terminals as a way to get around all this taxation and regulation. And the video lottery terminal folks would say, well, we're different from casinos because we, in their view, are not gambling devices, because there's apparently a thing in the video lottery terminals that allow somebody to see whether they won or lost or not. So that's their way around.
Loophole.
That's their loophole, mm-hmm, around what they see as a very different thing than what casinos are. There have been attempts to legalize and tax and regulate these machines. A bill sponsored by State Representative Bill Hardwick, a Republican from Pulaski County, barely passed the House. It probably doesn't have much of a chance in the Senate because Senate President Pro Tem Cindy O'Loughlin has said it's basically dead on arrival.
Okay, then we're talking, though, about how this loophole seemed to get kind of answered or a response in some way from a federal judge ruling last month that these do qualify as illegal gambling devices under Missouri law. And then it looked like local officials said, we have our answer. This is a signal to start getting these machines out of our municipalities.
Yes, St. Louis County Executive Sam Page saw that aforementioned federal ruling as a reason to go after businesses that have these machines within their premises. And what Page basically said that is, if you have one of these VLTs and you are in unincorporated St. Louis County, you could lose your liquor license. So I think that is one practical way that local officials are trying to crack down on these machines. But Attorney General Catherine Hanaway is also doing this on a state level. And I think people are seeing this federal decision as a reason to proactively go after these machines. Of course, the company that was involved in this, Torch, is planning to appeal. Mm-hmm. And whether or not this actually matters if the legislature ends up legalizing it remains to be seen.
Where do things actually stand right now?
If this federal ruling stands, then video lottery terminals are illegal in Missouri. And if the legislature ends up legalizing them, they'll be legal, like they are in Illinois and mm-hmm. other places. But as I kind of mentioned, the pathway to legalization is very difficult because there are very powerful interest groups that do not want video lottery terminals. I think there's just a lot of people that don't want to see a proliferation of these, whether you call them gambling devices or whether you call them non-chance games, they seem like gambling devices. And with this aversion to the proliferation of gambling that I think has become quite organic and quite powerful among Republicans and Democrats, there may not be a legislative pathway to legalize VLTs in the near future, mm-hmm. which means that there will be a pathway to get rid of them until there is legislation that makes them legal.
So right now, the federal ruling is what stands unless the legislature determines otherwise.
Or unless that particular ruling is successfully appealed.
Jason Rosenbaum, thanks so much for sharing your insight on this.
Thank you.
The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.